This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. We have had a debate that has torn this office apart. We will bring that debate to you on the air. We also are going to be joined by CJ Moore, who covers college basketball. We're going to have a Saturday Night Live draft after the 50-year anniversary of one of the more popular television shows in history. We're going to talk some KU. We're going to talk a little NFL. Trey Smith doesn't appear that he is going to get the franchise tag. Same thing with Nick Bolton. There is a lot happening. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here. Happy to be here with you. Hopefully you guys to work safely. I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend about the show. Let's start with Kansas. Now, I'm going to try to do this open as fair, honest, and as objective as I can. But deep down, there is a part of me that is excited because I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this show. I have been blessed and fortunate enough to be here with you guys after some monumental events. I have been to Game 7 of the World Series. I've got to go to Super Bowls. I've got to meet Bo Jackson multiple times. I have got to do some incredible things because of this position, and let me tell you, I am humbled by it. I never thought that I would be able to sit before you or live long enough to have the What's Wrong with Kansas show. I feel so special. I feel so blessed. I'm so humbled to be here. This is the most objective and honest way that I can look at it because there are some things that surprise me about this KU team. If I had told you or asked you this question, I don't know, let's say a decade ago, and I'm sure a decade ago that we had this topic as a show. If I had asked you, hey, who are the blue blood schools in college basketball? We would have had some debate about Gonzaga, but they've never won the national championship, so I wouldn't have put them in that category. I got all the respect in the world for Michigan State. Not really sure if I would have put them in that category. Now, I believe that UConn today has put themselves in the blue blood conversation. Not sure if you could say that a decade ago. Over the last 10 to 15 years, those programs have been Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and I would include Villanova with Jay Wright. Now, what do those schools have in common? Duke's basketball coach left because of the current climate of college basketball. Coach K is the most successful coach this side of John Wooden. He has done a magnificent job at Duke. I believe that one day Coach K woke up and looked around and said, hey, this isn't the college basketball that I started out with. Guys are making more money than ever before. I got to deal with the transfer portal. It is a headache that I didn't used to have. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need to do this anymore. We've won championships. My name is on the court. I've coached Olympians. I've done everything that basketball has to offer. Let me bow out gracefully. And Coach K did that. Roy Williams in North Carolina, I believe that he reached the exact same point. I don't think he stepped down for health reasons. I don't think he stepped down because he wasn't a good coach anymore. I don't think that he wanted to deal with the current climate of the sport anymore. Same thing for Jay Wright. Now, John Calipari is a little bit different. It is no longer the era of going on Rivals, looking at the top eight recruits, getting as many of them as you can, putting them all on the floor together, and just winning basketball games. That's not how you win in 2025. Bill Self's the last man standing. From this group, from those five programs, Bill Self is the last one standing. Coach K stepped aside because he didn't want to do this anymore. Roy Williams did the exact same thing. Jay Wright did the exact same thing. My honest question to you guys is that what we're seeing with Bill Self? Because I never in a million years would have believed that I would have had the opportunity to sit right here before you and tell you that I think the KU is poorly coached. That was not something that even entered my thinking to be able to tell you that. The KU that I'm used to, you would see growth and player development as the year progressed. DeJuan Harris has been on campus as long as any KU player that Bill Self has had the opportunity to coach. He is not a better player in 3 years. I'm looking at Hunter Dickinson. He was the number one player in the transfer portal. He's been there long enough to know what it's like to be a Jayhawk. He still can't guard anybody. We had our questions about KJ Adams and what kind of player that he was. I think we knew kind of coming into the season, another guy that you were expecting for him to take that jump, to take that leap. He doesn't appear to be a better player. As the game is changing, and as it's not about the one and done era, and it's not just name, image, and likeness, it is about your ability to identify through the transfer portal, find pieces that fit together, and coach those guys up. And I saw a coach during the game, I saw a coach after the game that looks tired. That looks like, possibly, I don't want to be here anymore and I don't want to do this. I never thought I would say that about Bill Self or a Bill Self-led team, that KU looks poorly coached and uninspired. The Kansas basketball that I grew up with could lock down on defense, it could get stops. The KU that I'm used to had an identity. Had a feel about him. I don't get any of that sense right now from what I'm seeing from KU. And then you listen to Bill. He sounds like someone who is trying to find his way. And you would not expect that from a Hall of Fame coach, one of the greatest college basketball coaches to ever stand on the sideline, to ever pick up a clipboard. Bill sounds like somebody who's tired. Listen to this.
The thing about, we need to regroup, you know, get away from each other for a day and go home and hopefully... be able to, you know, a lot of times with teams, there needs to be something happen to pull everybody together that is us against the outside. And, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to do that for sure. So a lot of teams go through it. We just haven't been through it much at all in a long time. But certainly we're going to go through it this time. So all we have of each other, and we're going to have to be strong for each other be good teammates, good leaders, and understand that, you know, it's if we need to look in the mirror, all of us, and what can we do to change the momentum, and then whatever we commit to doing, then do it. And tonight we were 1 foot in, 1 foot out in how we guarded and a lot of other things right from the jump. I mean, it was crystal clear how we wanted to try to guard them, and right from the jump, we doubted it and end up hurting ourselves or right there early.
That was Bill Self as he met with the media after, I would say, two back-to-back beatdowns KU got. They got beat down by Utah a couple of nights ago, a team that is not making the NCAA tournament, a team that at no point did KU have a lead. At no point did KU have more points than Utah. And against BYU, I mean, that was as bad of a regular season loss that Bill Self has had at his time in Kansas. And if you were thinking that this is just a one-season issue, it's not. In the last two seasons, KU is 18-16 in Big 12 games. This is a league that you used to dominate. KU has been slightly above average in the Big 12 the last two seasons. They are 6-14 in road games. This team hasn't been good in single-digit games. This team just doesn't appear to have an identity to me. As I look at the landscape of college basketball and as it is turning over, those long-standing historic coaches, they all left because of the current state of college basketball and gave way to younger coaches. Look at who took over at Kentucky. Look at who took over at Duke. Look at who took over at North Carolina. Are we heading towards a possibility that Bill Self one day just wakes up and says, I had a health scare a couple of years ago. I'm already in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. I've already won multiple national championships. I have more than enough money. My kids are older. My kids are grown. I'm in my mid-60s. I just don't want to do this anymore. Yesterday watching KU was the first time I've ever thought that watching them before. I saw a team that didn't have any fight, and I saw a coaching staff that right now just doesn't really appear to have a whole lot of answers for what's wrong with KU. And with March Madness right around the corner, I mean, in less than a month, I don't know how you can feel confident that this team is going to be able to figure things out or this coaching staff has a solution for what their biggest problems are. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by CJ Moore. We'll talk about KU yesterday. They got the beats by BYU. We'll also talk about Missouri as they have an important game coming up tonight against Alabama, who's ranked in the top five. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by CJ Moore, who covers college basketball for The Athletic. We've got two big stories. Missouri has a very important game coming up against Alabama in a few hours. CJ did a fantastic story on Dennis Gates. We'll also talk about Kansas as they got the brakes beat off them last night by BYU. CJ, man, happy to have you join us on the show today, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, Carrington. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. If we just had to start with this, what have you noticed is the biggest problem with this year's KU team?
I think it starts with roster construction. I think we're used to seeing Kansas have pros, and they don't have any pros. They don't have enough shooting. They don't have enough defensively, their numbers are good, but I don't think this is actually a good defensive team. I think it's kind of a tease. I think they have some good defensive pieces, and they just – they don't have an identity. I mean, I think usually with Bill Self teams, like, they have an identity, and I'm not sure this one has figured one out yet. And right now it doesn't seem like they really like playing with each other that much. So it's all come together to just kind of create this scenario where something like last night could happen.
Where do you think that the roster construction has gone wrong? Because I said this to my producer. I said this from the very beginning of the season. I said, I think it's going to be really tough to beat people at a high level consistently if your best player can't guard people. Just watching Hunter Dickinson, it was obvious sort of what teams would do defensively. Try to isolate him, put him in pick and roll situations, and you could take advantage of KU's best player. And I think as the season has kind of progressed, teams have maybe attacked him in a way. I also am looking at DeJuan Harrison. I'm looking at KJ Adams, just two players that to me just haven't progressed a lot over the last couple of seasons. From a roster construction standpoint, where do you think it went wrong with this team?
I think they've just whiffed in the portal for two straight years, and you can't do that and continue to compete at a really, really high level. Like sometimes it's a little bit luck, sometimes it's evaluation. Like, I'll give you an example of a year ago. They get Nick Timberlake, right? And do you know who they beat out for Nick Timberlake? They beat out UConn. UConn really wanted Nick Timberlake. And instead of Nick Timberlake, UConn got oh shoot, my brain's I did a freaking story on him, but my brain's gone.
I feel like somebody who was certainly a lot better than Nick Timberlake.
Yeah. They got Cam Spencer. There you go. They got Cam Spencer, who was a huge, huge part of their national championship run. Like, they don't win the national title if Cam Spencer is Nick Timberlake. And, you know, sometimes it's just like luck. Like, if UConn gets Nick Timberlake and Kansas gets somebody else, maybe it works out last year. But, you know, I just don't think they've done a very good job of evaluating guys that fit Bill. Like, you hate to pick on them, but like, if you go down the list, like, AJ Store is kind of a selfish player, shoot first guy that doesn't really guard, doesn't fit self. I don't think that, Store, you know, is not the level of defender that, or sorry, not Store, Mayo is not the level of defender that we've seen on past teams for Bill Self. Ryland Griffin athletically is a little bit lacking and you know, defensively hasn't been very good, and he shot the ball at a decent rate, but maybe not as, you know, not good enough to like justify him playing starter level minutes. So you go back a couple of years ago when they had KJ and they had DeJuan starting on a team that was a one seed, but around them were three pros. You know, they had Grady Dick, they had Jalen Wilson. And, you know, at that point, Kevin McCuller was, you know, looked like a pro. Injuries have kind of derailed his career, but he did get drafted. So those are NBA players. I don't know that there's an NBA player on this roster.
Right now, we're talking to CJ Moore, trying to figure out what's going on with the Jayhawks. You mentioned Bill Self. And I think it's more than just the name, image, and likeness part. Like, sure, I like to poke fun that not everybody has Adidas money, but Kansas still has more resources and is willing to outbid themselves for the players that they want. But I do wonder with Bill, when he's had his most success, it's been with guys that he's had 2 to 4 years in the program. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if now in this new era of the transfer portal, where there are more microwave rosters, where you got to try to fit 5, 6 guys in a very short period of time and sort of turn and burn. I do wonder if his style fits the modern era and modern style of how you win in college basketball.
It's interesting because I think he's in this spot where, like, he wants to fix it so fast. He wants to put it in the microwave and make it work. And, you know, they're going to flip the roster again probably this next cycle. But you're right. Like, what he's always done well is one with guys that have been around for a few years. And there are places that are doing that. Like, Iowa State, while they have hit the portal, like, they're trying to maybe get a little bit away from the portal, and they're trying to get guys that they can, and he tries to get guys, TJ tries to get guys that he can have for at least a couple of years. Like, they're not on their last year when he does get portal guys. Purdue, Marquette, like, those are programs that aren't really taking transfers, and they're doing it with their own guys, and they're developing. Like, you still can do it in this era that way, but you have to be very, very patient, and you have to really try to go, you know, go through, get the high school guys or get portal guys that have several years left. And I think when something goes wrong for Bill, like, he just wants to fix it right away. And maybe what's the right fix is trying to, like, okay, maybe we tear it down to the tear it down basically and try to build this up with young guys. Cause if you go back, like, if you want to, you know, go back in time, like, there's some decisions they probably wish they wouldn't have made. Like, maybe you don't take Hunter Dickinson, you just stick with Zubi Ejiofor and Ernest Udeh, because Zubi Ejiofor is a really, really, really good college player for St. John's right now. Like, he's a huge part of St. John's being awesome. Ernest hasn't quite developed like it maybe looked like he was going to, but Zubi has. So there you go. There you got a center who you can throw it into, and he can guard, and they're a lot better off. They had the kid that went to Alabama. It's a freshman there this year, LeBaron Filon. They had him committed. LeBaron Filon would probably be the best guard on this team, but I think they decided they wanted some older guys, and, you know, they passed on Filon, and he's had a great season at Alabama and is super fast, and, like, it would be a difference maker on this team. So I think there's been the processes are just a little bit broken right now, and I think they got to fix that.
CJ, March Madness is right around the corner, and obviously there are some things that are off-season issues, but there's still a handful of Big 12 games to go in the NCAA tournament. Do you think it's fixable for KU? Can they get themselves back on track? Because one thing I never thought I would say watching KU is this team doesn't look prepared. This team looks poorly coached. And and what I've seen from KU in their last two games against Utah and BYU, they look poorly coached and underprepared for these games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of everything coming together at the right time to make it look that way. I there are games where they have played well. Obviously, like the Houston game is about as well as they can play, and they really have to lean into like their defense, and they really have to be able to execute a game plan to like perfection because the margins are slim. But yeah, they can look much better than they looked the other day, but the ceiling is not that high. Like, I mean, you know, they're desperate when they're starting Hunter, Flory, and KJ all together. It's like those guys were all on top of each other last night. Like there's no way that lineup can work. So, but you know, he's trying to play the guys that he can actually like execute what he thinks he wants. But I have a hard time seeing them like really, really pull this together. Just cause I just, you know, usually they've got pieces that, at some point, if they get it, like a Kelly Oubre, it took him a while, but eventually he got it. You know, AJ Storr is not Kelly Oubre.
Right now, we're talking to CJ Moore here for a few more minutes, talking about what's going wrong with the Jayhawks. CJ, if I'd asked you, let's say a decade ago, to tell me who the blue blood programs are in college basketball, you would have said Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Villanova. Villanova's coach quit because of the current rules of college basketball. North Carolina's coach quit because of the current rules. Duke's coach, the exact same thing. Kentucky's coach has had a tough time, I think, transitioning to a more modern style and modern era of basketball. Could you see a scenario at some point in the next, let's say, 18 to 24 months where you and I just look up and Bill says, I can't do this anymore. I have won as many games as anybody has won. I've won national championships. I've won Final Fours. I've dominated a conference. I'm already in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Could Bill be the next coach to retire early because the game is changing so rapidly?
I don't think so. I don't think he minds the changes that much. I think that, and I don't see Bill Self being willing to go out like this. So it would just surprise me if he were to just step away and be like, it's passed me by. You know, I can't coach in this era. I don't think the way the rules are right now, he really minds. I think he just, you know, he has to go get the right guys. And he needs his, like, you remember when Roy Williams I don't know if you're old enough or not, Carrington, you probably are. In the late 90s, like, Roy was getting burnt out, and he didn't have very good teams, and he got his Kirk Heinrich, Nick Collison, Drew Gooden class, and it fixed everything, and it, like, re-energized him. Bill needs that class. Like, Bill, hopefully that's the class for him next year. He needs that to happen right now because I do think he's, like, I think these teams have maybe worn him out a little bit because it's frustrated him that he hasn't won at the level he's used to winning, but I don't see him going out like this.
So a couple of, I guess, last weekend, maybe more specifically, CBS and the NCAA put out what the top 16 seeds would look like. KU was one of those top 16 seeds. They were a 4 seed. They lost 2 games since then and haven't really been competitive in those 2 games. If I set the over-under right now at 5.5 for KU seeds in the NCAA tournament, are you taking the over or the under on 5.5?
Probably the over. I'll bet they end up at like a 6.
That's not a KU team that I'm used to.
Is that the under?
Yeah.
Am I doing it wrong?
No. I definitely got what you meant. That's just not the KU that I'm used to. Like, in my lifetime, I think they've been lower than a 4 seed, what, 1, maybe 2 times? That's not the KU basketball that I grew up on.
Yeah, 2000 was the last time they were less than a 4 seed, which were worse than a 4 seed, which is just a wild run. Like, that's just insane.
CJ, I'll get you out of here with this. You recently went to Columbia to sit down with Missouri and their program. What was your biggest takeaway? What did you notice?
You cut out there for a second. Were you talking about Mizzou?
Yeah, no, I was. You recently wrote a story for The Athletic about Missouri. What was your biggest takeaway from heading down there?
Just that, like, it's pretty incredible that Dennis Gates didn't lose his damn mind last year. And they kind of he kept it together, that he kept those, that core group of guys, and he brought them back, and has been able to win with them. And I think they've done a pretty good job, like, of finding guys in the portal that fit the guys they had. It's kind of the opposite of what you're seeing at Kansas. Like, they've hit on the portal. Mark Mitchell has been a great fit for them. You know, the guard they got out of Iowa, Perkins has been really, really good fit for those guys. So, I just think that they build it pretty wisely. And the fact that, like, he didn't lose his damn mind last year when they weren't winning the game, and, kind of stayed confident. Like, he is one of the most confident people, self-confidence I've ever come across. Like, you know, if you lose go 0-18 in the SEC, I feel like if it were me and you coaching those teams, like, we're going to really question what our processes, what we're doing. And I don't think he did. And he just kind of stuck to his guns and felt like he was going to get it right. And he did.
Now, looking back at it, maybe this is me just making excuses because I'm a Missouri fan. That team, I don't think, was maybe poorly built. They just had everything that could go wrong last year went wrong. I mean, they have kid that now this year that's at Wisconsin that's going to be a first-team All-American. He was on Missouri last year. He just didn't play. He was hurt. Mm-hmm. Caleb Grill was on last year's team. Like, there was a core where maybe that team doesn't make the NCAA tournament, but there is no reason for that team to lose every game the way that they did in conference play. They just got hit with every single hurdle last year.
Absolutely. I mean, if, looking back, like, I don't think their front court was going to be very good, even if they stayed healthy. But I do think on the perimeter they had some weapons and would have won some games. That, you know, maybe an NIT team. I'm not sure they were an NCAA tournament team. But man, the way he's playing at Wisconsin, like, he's been awesome. I'm not sure that they had any idea that John Tonji could be this good. But you know, they had some, at least enough confidence to pay him a decent amount in NIL and bring him from Colorado State. And you know, if that guy that's playing for Wisconsin right now showed up last year in Columbia, it might have given him a shot to make the NCAA tournament because he's been freaking fantastic.
Maybe it's just a Missouri fan in me, and I certainly think you'll understand that this just comes honestly. You know, I haven't had a lot of reasons to think otherwise. I think that there's probably 4 or 6 teams that they are favorites heading into it. Duke, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, teams that you think can realistically win this thing. And then there's a gap of about, I would say, 15 to 20 teams that they can beat just about anybody. And if they get the right draw, they can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And it feels to me that's where Missouri is. This is not a perfect team by any means, but they do have a lot of the things you would need to be able to make a run deep in March.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, it will depend on matchups and that kind of thing. But, you know, like, Florida is one of those elite teams, and they won on their home floor. I think a lot of it will come down to, like, how good Anthony Robinson do you get? You know, what's Mark Mitchell playing like in the tournament? And do Bates and Grill, like, are they hitting shots? But, you know, if those things all align, you could find yourself in San Antonio. Crazier things have happened.
Last thing here, they have an important game coming up later today against Alabama. I'm picking them to win, of course. They have been one of the better home teams in the country. I think they can hang with Alabama offensively. I also think they'll get enough stops where they win like an 87-82 game later today against one of the better teams in the country. Who do you think wins tonight?
I mean, honestly, I think it's kind of a coin flip. Alabama coming off a loss, I think you'd rather have them coming off a win, probably. I'm not sure Alabama loses 2 straight, so I'll say Alabama wins like a 3-point game, if I'm being honest. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Missouri win that game. I think Missouri's got like a 45% chance to win that game.
CJ, we've had such a good conversation. That's how we're going to end it. You couldn't lie to me? You couldn't be like,
sorry.
Oh, man, you're right.
Yeah. The Tigers win by 15. Probably.
You know what? That's what I like to hear. CJ Moore, he does fantastic work for The Athletic. Be sure to check it out. He recently went down to Columbia to spend the day with Dennis Gates. A really good article talking a little Mizzou, a little KU, getting you ready as we are right around the corner for March Madness. CJ, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. That's CJ Moore joining us on the show today, talking a little bit of college basketball. Let's switch gears for just a bit. I do want to get back to college basketball. I promise you we'll keep talking college basketball. We'll take some phone calls. I want to hear what you guys think is wrong with KU. I want to get back to it. Now, I could be speaking out of turn. And if I'm speaking out of turn, you tell me. 913-586-7965. Later today, Sporting Kansas City, they have a soccer game coming up. And they're playing a pretty good team. They're playing Miami. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Lionel Messi plays on Miami. He is arguably the most famous athlete in the world, maybe the most famous human being in the world. Last time he was here, they had, what, 60, 70,000 people? It's the most people that ever attended a soccer game in this great region. He's supposed to be playing tonight, right, Rob? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Is he playing tonight? You can go see Lionel Messi right now for $12 on StubHub. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. Well, he's already been here before. Okay. I'm only bringing this up for one reason. You don't like this weather. I know you don't like this weather. If there is anything I would like to present to the judge, if there is a piece of evidence, it's this. If this game was played in the summer, even if it was 100 degrees outside, it'd be a $300 get-in to go watch Lionel Messi tonight go play. But you want to know why it's $12 to be able to go? Because no one wants to go outside in this. Nobody. You wouldn't go out there for anybody. Taylor Swift could have a show out there today. You ain't going. It's cold. Look at it. It's negative 12, negative 15 degrees. It's ice and snow. Nobody want to be out there shaking it off. Lionel Messi is here. It's cheaper to go see Lionel Messi than to go see a movie later today. It's $12. It's free to park. You can go see Lionel Messi for 30 bucks after fees. Nobody's going out there today because it's miserable out. No one wants to be out there. I've told you guys for years, I think you're liars. Oh, man, we like it when it's zero over 100 degrees. We can layer up. Stop it. There ain't no layering when it's like this. It's miserable outside. You guys won't go see Lionel Messi. Those of you that love the cold, this is your time to shine. They'll have you out there. They're looking for bodies out there. You don't want to go because nobody wants to go. It stinks. Rob was telling me, I would have been there if he wouldn't have been in the summer. Stop it. You've seen Mahomes play multiple times. You've seen Brady play multiple times. Seeing Lionel Messi one time was enough. No, you don't want to go out there because you freeze your balls off. That's why you don't want to go to the game. Just be honest about it. You got KU season tickets. You out there, you've certainly sat outside for worse than watching Lionel Messi play. I saw you out there to watch Jason Bean play quarterback, freezing. I saw the pictures. You had mittens on. If you got mittens on to watch Jason Bean, you're doing it wrong. Rob, just admit, we'll never talk about this topic again. I'm serious. We'll never talk about this topic again if you guys can admit, Carrington, you're right. We don't like it when it's cold. We don't want to go outside when it's cold. You were right. It's miserable outside, and I wouldn't go outside for anybody. You won't go outside for Lionel Messi. Who would you go outside for? If you won't go outside for Messi, who will you go outside for? This is the soccer capital of the United States. That's what you guys tell me. That's what you tout, right? No, because soccer is a summer sport. It's got to be warm outside. I wouldn't go see Shohei Ohtani outside. He could pitch, hit, do all. No, it's freezing. If you admit I'm right, we'll never bring this up again. I promise you. I know a guy. I can make sure it never makes the rundown again. I'll never mention it. But I'm right, and you know I'm right. You know I'm right. It's terrible. Go ahead, Rob.
I also think that Sporting did a very bad job. I don't know if it's Sporting's fault or the league's fault. Do you think the average fan knew Messi was in town tonight? Like, yeah, the cold played a factor. The cold kept Arrowhead from being full when it was Chiefs and Dolphins. I know the text line will fake, like, oh, I was there. I love the Chiefs. That game didn't sell out. A playoff game didn't sell out. Obviously, the cold is a big deal to people. But if I went to the Plaza today and pulled 100 fans, hey, do you know Messi's in town tonight? How many of you think actually knew Messi was in town? Do you think this got the hype and buzz people actually knew what was happening? Yeah, the cold played a factor. But if we had been talking about it for 2 months, the cold wouldn't have been a factor.
Okay. All right, here we go. I'm sure that's what it is.
You also don't go outside when it's 100 either.
I would go see Lionel Messi if it was hot outside today. I absolutely would. If it's $12, I'll find some shade to go watch Lionel Messi. I'll find some shade. People don't know. What are you talking about? It's soccer. You guys are a tight-knit community, the cauldron. You guys know what's going on. They emailed me the little MLS pass. People know they're playing today. They just don't want to go. They don't want to go out there and watch them. We'll watch them on TV. People want to stay home and watch Missouri as they get ready to win the national championship. $12 to go see Lionel Messi. Yeah. I'm shocked he's even going to play. If I'm Lionel Messi, I wouldn't be nowhere near Kansas City right now. I don't care how much they're paying me. I don't need this money. I've been the best player in a World Cup. I need to play a February game in front of 4,000 people in Kansas City. To hell with this. I'm going to hang out with Kim Kardashian later today. I don't want any parts of this. All right. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals that have one of the more intriguing off seasons coming up. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's been a long time since I've actually got to make one of these analogies on the show, so I'm actually really excited about the opportunity to make this analogy. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about college basketball. KU, something's going on. This ain't the KU that I grew up with. Rob's, he's even afraid to wear the colors anymore. Rob's talking about how he can't wait to go to senior day so he can boo Hunter Dickinson and KJ Adams. That's the kind of energy that your core fan base has right now. It's not good to be a KU fan. Have you, I guess, ever been in a situation where, let's say, you wanted something really nice, whatever that something really nice is, but then you realize in order to keep and maintain the really nice thing, it's going to cost maybe a little bit more money than you're willing to spend. You know, you want the BMW, but you don't want to pay for those BMW oil changes. You don't want to get the premium gas. You don't want to pay for the car details. You should probably just get a different car if that's the case. I make that analogy because I'm looking right now at the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Cincinnati Bengals, through work of their own, they have built a pretty decent roster with some nice things. Well, now it's time to pay for those things. And they have made the decision to go pay for Joe Burrow, which makes sense. He's one of the five best quarterbacks in the National Football League, Heisman Trophy winner, taking his team to a Super Bowl. I'm not telling you that paying Joe Burrow is a bad thing. But if there's anything that we've learned is having the quarterback is not just enough. Having the house is great. Gotta furnish the house. Have you heard that saying about being house poor? Have you been to somebody's house and it's just kind of empty in here? Like, you got all this space. You're going to put a couch over there. You're going to buy some plants. Where's all the stuff inside of it? Well, the stuff is the running back. They let Joe Mixon go last year. The stuff is paying and maintaining Ja'Marr Chase. They still haven't signed him to a contract. You could argue right now that Ja'Marr Chase is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. How are we arguing about his salary? It's the price. That's what it is. How much does it cost? The price. That's how much we're willing to pay. You tell us how much it is and we'll take care of it and we'll sign you because we think the world of your talent. That's why you drafted Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell, is to turn into what he's turned into and give yourself the best quarterback and wide receiver duo in the National Football League, the same where they were back at LSU. You then got T. Higgins. T. Higgins has been a dog. He's been great for you. Second round pick out of Clemson. He's been good. Now it's time to pay to maintain those things. You got one of the top pass rushers in Trey Hendrickson. Everybody's asking for money. This is what it costs. If you draft and develop good players, eventually they want off of their rookie contract and they want a salary. So you got to pay it. I don't know what Cincinnati is going to do. They got a lot of things they got to pay for in a short period of time. And the reputation for Cincinnati is they're a little cheap. That's how people around the league feel. Kind of like the Raiders. People feel that same way about the Bengals. You want the nice things, but don't want to pay for the nice things. Maybe you'll pay for Ja'Marr Chase. You probably should pay. But the reports right now is that Ja'Marr Chase wants $40 million a year. He wants quarterback money to keep playing wide receiver for you guys. Why didn't you do this last year? You could have got Ja'Marr Chase for $32 million, maybe even less than that. Now he wants $40? And you got to pay it. How much is it going to be to keep T. Higgins around? $25, $27 million in order to keep T. Higgins? You're willing to spend that much of your salary cap on a wide receiver, I guess another wide receiver, two wide receivers, and one quarterback? You're willing to lock up that much of your salary cap? There's never a benefit to waiting in the National Football League. Not when you know. If you know that Joe Burrow is him and you want to keep him, pay him day one that you can do it. It's going to save you money in the long run. Why did Cincinnati let this go on with Ja'Marr Chase? Why? Now he's the best receiver in the league. Arguably, he's either number one or number two behind Justin Jefferson. However you want to say it. He's not giving you the hometown discount. It costs. T. Higgins, you've already franchise tagged me once. So if you guys want to give me another $27 million guaranteed, I mean, sure. I mean, he'll show up eventually. But this is the last year that you can franchise tag him. They changed it in the CBA. You can't tag him for the third time. Cincinnati, they have a lot of Cowboys tendencies to them and how they've mismanaged this salary cap and how they've mismanaged this thing. Now, they did get to the Super Bowl once during their window, so that's certainly not a Cowboys thing to do. But how they've handled the finances of this thing, they've really messed this thing up.
So here's the thing. Ja'Marr Chase. I actually don't think they've messed up T. Higgins because I don't think I would pay T. Higgins. I think walking on T. Higgins is probably the right call. Like, but that's neither here nor there. But here's the thing with Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think they've messed up. Ja'Marr Chase wanted to get paid 3 years into his 5-year contract. Outside of quarterback, because quarterback is a different animal. How many guys do you see get a new deal when they're on year 3 of their rookie deal? The Bengals hadn't even announced they were picking up the 5th-year option on Ja'Marr Chase before Chase said, yeah, I want more money. That's pretty rare. There are a lot of really good players in the NFL. Non-quarterbacks aren't getting extensions 3 years in. Maybe guys on second-round contracts because that's just the way it works. But first-round contract guys, it's usually after year 4, they pick up the option and they use the next 24 months to negotiate. I don't think the Bengals screwed that up. I just think Ja'Marr Chase is better than they anticipated. And every time he takes the field, his price goes up. But saying we're not negotiating after year 2 and year 3, I don't think is wrong by the Bengals. I just think the Bengals got screwed by Chase's talent in a weird way.
But you spent a top 5 pick on him. That's maybe where I disagree with you at. You spent the top 5 pick on a wide receiver, and he turned out to be the best case scenario. Ja'Marr Chase was the best wide receiver in college. He then turned out to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. It's not like Ja'Marr Chase caught you off guard by how good he was. You got to pay it. And delaying it, it only hurts you. It doesn't hurt Pittsburgh. Doesn't hurt Kansas City. Doesn't hurt Baltimore. Doesn't hurt these other teams that you're trying to compete with. All it does is lock up more of your salary cap and prohibit you from being flexible and going out there and taking care of what you need to take care of. Now you've created a backlog. Your number one wide receiver is unhappy with this contract. Your number two wide receiver is unhappy with your contract. And your number one pass rusher is unhappy with your deal. Everybody's mad about money now at this standpoint. What usually end things in the National Football League, and I'm not calling the Bengals a dynasty, but what usually breaks teams up, and we see this in all sports. It's happened in basketball with the Orlando Magic, Shaq and Penny. What usually breaks people up is contracts, the salary cap, and injuries. That's what usually ends things. Old age, sometimes too. Guys are now unhappy about their deal. Guys are holding out. And you've created a problem when you didn't have to create a problem. There's a lot of storylines going into this NFL offseason. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? Are the Rams going to trade Matthew Stafford? One of the top storylines in the National Football League for the next couple of weeks is going to be, what is Cincinnati about to do? because you got a lot of really good players that are looking to get paid. Are you going to franchise tag? Are you going to sign and trade? What's the plan for Ja'Marr Chase? Trey Henderson asked for a trade at the beginning of the season. He went out and led the NFL in sacks. Are you about to pay him? You got three or four guys that are fighting for the available cap space that you have. Can you keep those guys happy and also strengthen the rest of your roster that has missed the postseason for the last couple of years? Coming up at the top of the hour, let's get back to talking about college basketball. KU lost yesterday in a bad way to BYU. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.